Welcome, everyone, to Freedom Law School's weekly conference call on this Thursday, September 15th, 2016. This is Peyman Mutahede, the founder and president of Freedom Law School, and your host for this weekly program. Every Thursday night, I conduct these weekly conference calls to answer your freedom questions, to help you live free now. Why? Well, I'm an immigrant from Iran myself. In 1977, at the age of 14, I came here, and I thought and assumed that America was a free country, because that is what America was advertised throughout the world to be. I found America is not a free country like it was supposed to be or meant to be. And I learned about the U.S. Constitution and how it protects our rights and freedoms later on from some wonderful patriots in 1992. I started educating myself and other people. And I was so amazed that how ignorant I was beforehand, that with the new education I got from others, I started sharing that with other freedom-minded people. And that's what led to Freedom Law School over 20 years ago, folks, January 1st, 1996, where Freedom Law School started. So for 20 years, I've been educating others as I have educated myself, and American government has become more corrupt, more lawless, more oppressive. I mean, look at this current situation. We have an out and out, obvious lying murderer, criminal. I mean, a murderess, literally, running for president, and they're covering up for her. This lying woman, Hillary Clinton, has lied so many times to the American people and under the law, diverted, you know, classified top secret documents to her home, removed them from government office automatically, then destroyed the documents to conceal them, destruction of evidence, you know, flaunts, you know, congressional orders and subpoenas to hold those documents. And, you know, everything's fine. It's all political. It's all, you know, about of the corrupt people like their corrupt candidates. The big banks, the big corporations, the banksters, Wall Street, and the media that they own and control love Hillary Clinton. She is their puppy, and they're trying to protect their corrupt criminal puppy. So here's Freedom Law School, and mix all of this, educating people about the fact that our money system is absolutely a crime. All of the money in the American system economy, folks, all of it, every dollar in your pocket, in your bank account, is money that was created out of thin air by the banks and lent out to the people and the government and charging interest. That's right. That's all the money in the system has been done. How would they get away with this? Such a huge fraud? Because they simply bought the politicians with the same money. And the media. That's all. It's not that hard if you got a lot of money. So the income tax fraud is a little brother of the money system. It's meant to reduce people to a new form of slavery, new form of control, new form of extracting your labor for the benefit of the super rich banksters and corporations. That is all. No big deal. And American people don't know what's going on. Well, let me tell you, folks, Freedom Law School will educate you, number one. Empower you with education. Number two, we'll reach out to you and everybody else out there to get this information out and then help you live free now, providing you with actual practical, workable solutions based upon the U.S. Constitution and the laws of this great union of 50 states. That's right. The laws are there meant to protect you, but we're not taught about these things. Or university. I wasn't taught these things in my university education in the California State University. You have to learn these things now on your own as an adult. That's why Freedom Law School was started. The only law school in America organized, created, not to make you an attorney, to represent people in court, no. But to help you, the average, ordinary American, learn about the law and your rights and live and breathe free. Live free of oppressive taxation and control. Have courses and to help you with all this from our first course called A Practical Road to Freedom from Oppressive Taxation and Control, Level 1. All the way to the top of the line program, the Royal Freedom Package, which includes a lot more support, writing letters for the against these IRS crooks, thieves, get them off your back, live free. And folks, I've been having a $300,000 income tax reward for, it's been now 17 years, since 1999. IRS very well knows about it. IRS agents, employees, managers, and lawyers. Yet none of these guys who is trying to enforce this law on American people ever has even attempted to try to collect Freedom Law School's $300,000 income tax reward. And you know what? IRS admitted to me about 5-6 years ago they had over 8,000 pages of files on me. If they got damn many pages, you don't think that they know about Freedom Law School's $300,000 income tax reward? Of course they know. And even if there's a law, they can come and try to claim the reward, but they don't. And I'm going to tell you this in upcoming weeks. I'm going to expose how a top law school law professor attempted to claim Freedom Law School's $300,000 reward, and he failed. I'm going to let you be the judge to see for yourself why this law professor failed. You'll see it. I'll give you direct primary source of law you can read for yourself, the law. And you see why this even law professor, and by the way, he's a tax law professor. Yeah, that's one of his specialties. He was wrong. He could not even show the law. That requires American to file income tax. And he's a man who has a website debunking tax honesty groups and organizations that are claims on income tax. He's a debunker. And he could not debunk Freedom Law School. So here we are, folks. I'm going to be answering your freedom questions tonight. And some of you have sent me some documents to go over on this conference call. I'll be happy to go over that and answer those questions for you folks. So let's go to your question one at a time now. And remember, this is a public call that any government or IRS agent or anybody out there could be recording it, just like a radio program. So to protect your privacy, folks, okay, you don't want to give me your last name. Just tell me your first name and the state you're calling from. That will be enough. I know who you are, who has a question, and I'll be happy to answer your question as best as I can. Very often, I can fully answer your question on this conference calls for free. On some occasions, however, you may need one of our courses or a private one-on-one consultation with me, one of our freedom packages, or if somebody else can better help you, I'll refer you to that source as well. But let's see what we can do on this conference call to answer your questions right now. And everybody else, we get to learn from your question and answers as well. We have a caller from area code 916 area code prefix. The first three numbers of your phone number is 519. Do you have a question? Caller from area code 916-519.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. What is your name? First name?
Can you hear me? Al.
Yes, I can hear you. Yes. Uh-huh.
Great. From Sacramento.
Greg. Yes, sir.
Yes. How you doing?
I'm doing good,
I hope everybody's doing well. Good, good, good. I received this letter from the IRS. They are claiming a tax year of 2011 back taxes owed. My wife had been in contact with them, and she stated to them, if we owe these taxes, we'll you know, see what we can do about this. We do have a tax accountant, so we wanted to confirm with them if we indeed did owe. I've never owed children and so forth. And so I want to know basically what you would recommend. I'm waiting for a response from my tax attorney to see.
Well, let me ask you a question. Are you the gentleman who sent me faxed some pages of documents and from Sacramento, California, and that you get a monthly payment of $25 IRS claims for your 2011. They claim you owe them $497, right? Okay.
That's correct.
Well, let me ask this question. All right. Did you file a 1040 income tax confession form, you and your wife, for your 2011 or not?
Honestly, I'm not sure, because at that time, my wife had suffered an injury, and I believe that we were told at that time we didn't have taxable income, and so therefore, we may not have filed, and that's why I had to go back to confirm this, and for the years following thereafter, so we may not have filed.
Okay. Well, second question is that according to this letter that the IRS sent you, you had entered into a monthly payment of paying the IRS $25 a month. Did you ever make an agreement to pay this $500 to them, $25 a month, or no? Do you recall any such thing, you or your wife?
My wife had stated to them, if we owe this, and that's why we had to confirm with our tax accountant regarding this. So I asked her exactly what were her words to this person. She said, if we owe, and she's supposed to be getting back with them because our payment was actually due 10 days ago on the 5th. And so we haven't heard back from our accountant yet. I'm sure they have to go back and dig through their files. That's what, 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And dig those out. And I don't know where to keep the microfiche, et cetera. But when they get back to us, that's what we're waiting for. So I told my wife, is that exactly what you said? She said, yes. She says, if we owe, I said, because I think they record these conversations. And if you agreed to making some sort of a payment or, payments, I said, how did they come to this amount? And I'm speaking about my wife here too, my wife. How did they come to the amount of this $25? And I believe that she said, how would we do this? They said you can make monthly payments. They said, $25 a month, so it's not a financial burden if you didn't have any taxable income, et cetera. But I didn't know how they filed this. And I was told, or at least my understanding is that the government will actually file a dummy tax form for you if you did not file. And there were a lot of other circumstances surrounding that time period. My mother-in-law had passed away. We had some inheritance, et cetera. So we didn't know maybe if this was taxes possibly on some inheritance that my wife had received. So we have some answers that we don't have answered yet, exactly how they came or derived to this exact amount. And, you know, on the back of some of these pages, they do have a listing of percentages that they charge you through certain periods. And I think the amount is somewhere in, is 3%. That they
well let me help you before because this is not I don't want to take too much on this issue, my friend. This is only just under $500, okay? It's only like a traffic ticket in California, okay? Bottom line is that one. Yeah, well I had, and in California $500 is a traffic ticket with all the penalties and they add all this nonsense they add to it. It's just a typical traffic ticket in the corrupt state of California. Which, you know, government employees are money hungry. They want to suck as much money they can for these communist apparatchik, you know, Bolsheviks. So basically, it's so small, it's probably you and your tax guy called the IRS, and they just made a $25 a month payment arrangement for this money that was owed. I don't know how. You don't have enough paperwork. I need to see more paperwork to give you better answers. And by oral conversation, yeah, $500, you'll find $25 a month, pay it. We got bigger fish to fry than worry about this $500 deal, $25 a month. There's a lot of people to talk for them. I mean, the federal government has over $2 trillion budget, $2,000 billion plus. What's $500? Okay, it's 2 million millions. You know, so they don't want to spend too much time on $500. They just did that. So you can either pay it, don't pay it. No, there's probably not much of a challenge you can do. It's not even worth paying anybody to help you with this thing. You know, the biggest thing I would say when someone comes with something like this is I tell them, look, it's just a warning for you to prepare for the future. That's the best thing I can tell you. Don't, you know, for me, way back in 1989 when me and my ex were separated, the IRS came after us for the phony $200 thing. And I gave them all the expenses, the records that they wanted. Should have been zero. And the IRS person said, well, I redid everything. You owe only $100. And I didn't understand how the system worked, really. But I knew enough. I said, wait a minute. I gave them all the expenses, the records they wanted. It should have been zero. But I do not know how to challenge these guys. I have to pay somebody else. Will cost more than $200. $100. So why don't we just split it and pay him off and move on? As much as wrong and evil as they are, that's what we did. So as much as you want to be principled on this issue, my friend, just keep in mind that sometimes you just got to do, Greg, what you got to do to move on and just plan for the other bigger years and bigger future. That's what I suggest your focus be on. That's the best advice I can give you, my friend.
Okay? I'll chalk it up as lesson learned and go from there, and hopefully you won't make the same mistake twice. But I definitely am going to order your courses, so I want to definitely get that so I can learn more about this, because it's like anything else. You know, you don't go to the doctor until you're sick, you know, and you need to know what's going on with you. And you got to try to figure it out. But I definitely need to learn more about this, and you know, like you said, it's a matter for me. It's a matter of the principle of this. I've never had to. Oh, I don't know where this is coming from, but I'd like to do some more research on this and figure out how they came to this. But I will chalk it up as, okay, better 500 now than 5,000 later,
or 50,000 later, or 500,000 later.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. 500 is a drop in the bucket compared to some of these people I've heard, you know, saying the government's coming after you for. So I wanted to say thank you. You're a great American. And I appreciate everything you're doing, and thank you for reviewing the paperwork there. And I'll continue to listen, and I hope everybody out there, educates themselves as to the law, because the government presumes that we know the law. And I don't know about the rest of you out there, but I don't. And so I'm learning just like everybody else, and I'm going to continue to learn. And I'm glad there's people out there like Mr. Payman who is willing to share this information. Even at the cheap low cost, that he's done all the homework and everything. So I would definitely encourage everyone to take advantage of it while you can, before he may not be around too much longer, like the way things are going.
Well, thank you for your support, my friend. I appreciate that. Let's go to the other caller we have now. Thank you, Greg. You stay on the call, my friend. We've got other people with questions. Let's try the other caller we have from also of area code 916. The prefix is 247. And the caller from area code 916-247. If you have a question, please announce yourself at this time.
I have no questions. I'm just listening in. Thank you.
Very good, my friend. Thank you for listening in. How about a caller from area code 810. We have a caller from area code 810. If you have a question from Utah, go ahead and announce yourself and then your question.
Yeah. Evening, Peyton. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Pale Rider. I talked to you a couple days ago. I'm from Michigan. And I faxed a bunch of stuff about a notice of deficiency notice from notice of determination.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, give you a call. Okay. So anyway, here we are.
Well, and I got Michigan. Yes, I got your paperwork you sent from Michigan. What the IRS did send you? Here's what he has. This gentleman was sent to IRS first, not a notice of deficiency, but in April of 2015, they send you a 30-day letter. It's an unofficial letter. It's an audit letter. It means nothing. It's just an audit unofficial letter. It means nothing. April of 2015 for about, $23,000. Okay. And then the next thing I have from you is about a year later, August 2016, the IRS sends you a notice of determination from a collection due process hearing that you asked for. Okay, August 15th. And the IRS claims that anything you brought up was only what the IRS considers to be frivolous arguments. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, they don't like the law.
You saw that. Yeah, they don't like the law. Mm-hmm. If you bring the law in front of them, anytime you argue that the income tax is a fraud, you're essentially telling them that the emperor wears no clothes. You're just exposing. Oh, yeah. Anytime you say that Hillary Clinton lied, she just says, no, you're all wrong, which is another lie. That's all. Mm-hmm. They just lie again. They control levels of power so they can get away with the lies, because the judges are becoming more and more corrupt and wimpy and not upholding the laws of the Constitution to protect people's rights, but they want to protect the system as it is. These guys are afraid. Oh, me, my lowly level judge, going against the system. I can't do that. I'm just one judge. You want to change it? Go change the president. Go change the Congress. Let the politician do that. No, not me. I'm just a judge. Just one government employee. That's too often the attitude of these political lawyers with black rope who have been put on the bench called judges. That's the problem, my friend. Okay. So the thing is that he had 30 days to challenge this collection due process hearing by appealing that to the United States Tax Court, okay? So from the date that this notice of determination was issued, which was August 15th, 30 days after that would have been yesterday, Wednesday, September 14th. So your deadline to ask for appeal it would finish yesterday. You're done with that, unfortunately. You did.
There's much more paperwork than what you've got there, but due to the limitation of the fax thing. I've responded to every notice they got. It's all been sent certified. No, I mean, I've got them locked up. And like I say, they come, they go away. In fact, when I was going through my records, I'll toss this out there. I found one where they sent me where I've got almost a $200,000 credit. And I'm thinking, like, what is this? I mean, these people are so messed up, they just pick numbers, you know, it's like picking lotto numbers. But anyway, we gotta talk more. Like I said, I wanna get your course material so I can start getting a little more depth in this. But anyway, go on. Or anything else I could help you with there?
Well, to help you over this process, I would need to do a private one-on-one consultation with you, because your collection due process hearing appeal would need to be modified very likely, and based upon what the IRS says. And even then, I'm not sure what approaches would work for you. There might be other tactics or techniques besides appealing this case that could have you possibly win. So this is something where, like you said, I should see all the other paperwork that you have about this case. And then once I review that with you, I can give you a much better answer as to what you're facing, what are your options, A, B, C, how much each option could cost you one way or another, what are your risks, what are the chances of success in each of them? So you can make an intelligent evaluation, not just 2012, which is right now definitely is on top of your mind, I understand, but also based upon our conversations, 2010, 11, 13, 14, 15, all these other years that may be coming in play already or soon, and take it all into consideration. So let's do that, my friend. Let's do a one-on-one consultation. It's $240 for 1 hour cash. You may want to get that. If you do want to get our courses, at the minimum, start with a Quick Start Freedom Package, which is the level one course, which is $300, plus 1 hour consultation of $240, plus $10, $20 shipping. But it's all only for $490. You save yourself $70 by doing that combined. But let's do that as soon as you can, so you have time to absorb all this and think about your best options and how to go forward from here, my friend.
Yeah, and I'd remember I also told you that your email system wasn't working for signing up for those courses. And I talked to your girl, I think her name was June or April or whatever her name was, and I still haven't gotten anything back on that, so you still must have a technical problem on that end.
But, thank you for letting me know. I'm gonna check on that.
I'll contact you again tomorrow, and we'll get a little more stuff put down. And I don't want to take away from your call, so go ahead with the other people that are got more problems than I do.
Okay, no problem. Very good, my friend. Thank you for calling. Let's go to the caller we have from area code 773. The caller from area code 773. If you have a question, please announce your first name and the state you're calling from, and then your question. Okay, no question from the caller from area code 773. We have a caller, looks like, from Las Vegas, Nevada, from area code 702. Do you have a question to call from area code 702? If so, please announce yourself now.
No questions, just listening in.
Okay. Very good, my friend. Well, folks, I got a lot of work ahead of me I got to get done. I'm going to be working after the commerce call is done. And some commerce calls I've taken close to 2 hours, some even longer. But sometimes they don't take as much of a time. So what I'm going to do is we have one more call. Let me see from area code 512 from Austin, Texas. If he has a question, then I'll take his question. Otherwise, I'm going to end the call to get some other work done. Yeah, you have a question call from area code 512?
Yes, I do. Hey, this is this is Jim from Austin. I called last week, sent you some documents and stuff about the tax lien the IRS has filed in the county where I own the house. Remember last week I emailed you about starting school and stuff like that too?
Okay. Yes, we talked.
Yeah, so What the other thing, like the next thing I'm worried about is if they did a lien on any property in that county, the next thing they could do is like freeze my bank account. So
they have to send you. No, wait. Let me stop you right there, my friend. To do that, they cannot do that. For that, they have to send you a collection due process hearing opportunity letter. And from that, you'll have the opportunity to challenge the tax by asking for a hearing. Hearing. You already had to went through that process of a levy collection due process hearing or a lien collection due process hearing, Jim. Which one did you have?
Well, I have to have the one that's a notice of federal tax lien filing and your right to a hearing under IRC 6320.
Right. Okay. See, let me explain to you why. Misunderstanding, my friend. A lien is just a claim against any real estate, home, or land that you may own in a county where it was filed. Okay, that's all a lien is. But not the levy. Levies would take a paycheck, a bank account, or something.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if I file a hearing, then doesn't that take away the levy or the lien for 3 months? Don't they doesn't it give me time?
The lien will remain until it's either paid or you somehow beat that tax in some kind of a proceeding, legal or IRS proceedings. If you beat the tax, so they'll go away.
I was told if I filed a hearing, then they have to remove the lien too, or they will remove
the
lien.
No, you were told wrong. The lien only gives you the opportunity to challenge the tax, the lien. But until you actually win it, it's not going to go away.
If I file a hearing and challenge the tax, what's the hearing consist of? Like, what do you have to do? Go to court or something?
No. It's first you with the IRS appeals officer. They give you a hearing. They try to give it to you by telephone. You know, I recommend you get one in person. You may want to do it by correspondence also, sometimes by phone. But you get to challenge them with that IRS appeals officer. IRS's appeals office, who handles appeals, more intelligent, experienced IRS employees handle that. So you go to them, not the dummies at the lower level you dealt with. So you deal with those guys. And then if they rule against you, then you get to appeal out to tax court. And at tax court, you may or may not have to go to court. And you may or may not win. We'll see. Just like the previous caller that I had, Pale Rider from area code 810, he went through the collection due process hearing. They ruled against him. Now, as you heard him say, he appealed that timely within 30 days to the tax court. And then the tax court process could take another year or two, maybe longer perhaps, to finish off, and they may go to court of appeal, after that again still. That possibly exists that he might go to court of appeal.
But
so these things sometimes...
Because, hey, I'm protest. I'm having a hearing done, and so you can't do this lien now. You can't, do that in the hearing and say, hey, you got to remove this lien because now I'm doing a hearing. So you have
no.
to...
Nope, that's not the law, my friend. I wish that was a law. That would be wonderful, my friend. It'd be wonderful. I like that to be the law.
Yeah.
But that is not what the law is. I don't know who told you that. It's just not
CPA,
so.
An attorney called me and told me she could do that for me. She's like, hey,
do what
I can
for
do
him?
If I file the hearing and I tell him and we write a letter and all this stuff, and we can get them to lift the lien for 3 months until your hearing.
Nope. He's an incompetent attorney or CPA, whatever professional he thinks he is.
Okay. Hey, on a different note, I wanted to bring this up to you. I don't know if you heard about it, but on the alternative media, you're probably familiar with a lot of it, right?
Yes.
There was a group of people getting together, and I think it was being led by Ken O'Keefe, the ex-Marine who was like standing up against the government and all that. And then the other guy that is like a big, he makes a lot of documentaries, and his name is Max Egan. So they
Max Egan.
Uh-huh. Max Egan and Ken O'Keefe and a bunch of other people. They had like a team of people, and they were trying to put together, they were getting donations, and they raised like a whole bunch of money to get people to fight the IRS to like prove in public that they didn't have to pay taxes. So this was like a big deal, and they were getting like a whole panel of like a crew, a circle of people who were doing all the research and were going to present all the information, get a whole bunch of people who were behind on their taxes or whatever, didn't want to pay their taxes, and all go to, and like bring this big thing to the government, like publicize it and all this stuff. But something happened, and like I guess the guy that Ken O'Keefe was working with said that no, he couldn't do it. He didn't know how to do it. So I don't know if you heard about that, but it kind of turned.
No, I haven't. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and now but it turned into a big fight because now it's like an argument like between Max Egan and Ken O'Keefe, because Ken O'Keefe didn't do all the stuff he said he was going to do, and now he has all this money, and now he's asking for more people's money. So like now Max Egan is saying he's a con artist and like, or he's COINTELPRO or something like that. So it was a great idea and it looked cool. And I don't know if somebody else could do it. And it might be something to think about. I don't know if you saw it. Maybe you should Google it. Google the.
What is it again? Hello, Jim. Are you there? Okay.
Looks
like we lost Jim, folks. And to mute him also because something wrong with his phone line. So maybe he'll call back, hopefully. And if AF further has any questions, we can talk about that. Okay. All right, folks. Well, I want to thank you all for calling Freedom Law School's weekly conference call. I will be talking about, folks, about how even a law professor that teaches about the law, the Constitution, and the taxes, he is ignorant of the law. That's how bad, folks, the state of the union is. That is really sad. That even law professors do not have the understanding of the law. And they don't have even the decency to talk about it further. You know, I invited this guy, by the way, to further talk about it. He didn't write back because they just want to go along and get along. They've been bought and paid for with money. That's how powerful money can be, folks. It can really, you know, buy you, you know, the media, the businesses, law professors, you name it. So thank you for all for calling tonight. What I invite you to do is to tell other people about Freedom Law School. Okay. And I'll tell you something else. You know, the government is censoring Freedom Law School and about this stuff and through Google. If you go on Google and type in Joe Bannister, I'll tell you what, Google YouTube and Google YouTube on Joe Bannister, and you'll find the results interesting. How one Joe Bannister's speech about 2000 rally comes up, the other one doesn't. After all, they own both, but they censored Joe Bannister's speech by taking it out. You can, if you type it in yourself, you'll find it. You know, you can get the link to it if I give it to you. But if you type it in Joseph Bannister, it will not come up. Anyhow, I'll talk more about it next time, folks. Thank you for calling. It's been a pleasure. And I look forward for you to call back any Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time Zone. Tell your friends, to come join Freedom Law School. They can live free. You can live free if we all take action together. Educate ourselves. Take action. Live free now. Good night, everyone.